artists make a splash with groundbreaking work at a young age and are forever remembered for their early styles, but quite a few go on to do entirely different types of art in their later years. And a new show at the Museum of Modern Art called The Long Run focuses on the work of artists in mid to late career, including works from MoMA's collection that have never been exhibited before. It's on view until November 4th in the museum's fourth floor galleries. And I'm delighted to welcome the show's curators, Paulina Poboja and Cara Mainz, to our show now. Hi.
Hi.
So, Paulina, what exactly is the concept behind this exhibition?
The Long Run.
Yes.
I think the title hopefully says a lot of it. We really wanted to celebrate an artist's long career. And that's something that we can do at the museum, and we often do at the museum through the context of a retrospective, where you take one artist and you look at the career from the beginning to the end. But that's something that is less frequent in our collection galleries. Our collection galleries, I mean, anyone that's visited MoMA can know that telling art history in Midtown Manhattan is a difficult endeavor just in terms of space. Mm-hmm. And so MoMA typically tells a kind of very progressive history that begins in the late 19th century, and you move from post-impressionism to cubism, futurism, Dada, and then you move to the fourth floor with abstract expressionism, pop, minimalism. So this is the kind of progressive story that really hinges on the breakthrough, the idea of an artwork kind of pushing art history further down the road.
The big splash,
as you said in the introduction. And what we wanted to do, and of course these artists, whether it's Andy Warhol or Jasper Johns, continue to have long, fruitful careers for 20, 30, 40 years. And what we wanted to do, and this is the type of work that the museum collects, so what we wanted to do was really showcase work 20, 30 years later.
And So who is like the iconic late bloomer or the artist who has many avatars? I think of certain people who've had, you know, legendary long careers. They keep on morphing. Picasso, I don't know, if Cezanne also had a very long career, if I'm right. Are there certain ones that you want to also point out in this show that are similar in that way?
Well, Jasper Johns is I think a central figure and a figure that's very close to the DNA of the institution. We bought our first works in 1956, Alfred, from Jasper Johns' first show at Leo Castelli Gallery. And we have continued to collect him throughout his career. Our most recent acquisitions date from just a few years back. And so he's an artist that kind of looks to his early work and incorporates his early work, but is always constantly innovating. And we really wanted, I mean, one of the thoughts for both of us was for people that love Jasper Johns' flag, I mean, this is the iconic artwork.
Sure. This is from the 1950s.
From the 1950s. Yeah. To enter into a Jasper Johns' gallery, as you see it in The Long Run, that charts 30 years of the artist's work from 1980 to 2015, and maybe be a little disoriented, maybe not even know what artist it is that they're looking at. So that's one of many, I think, in the show.
But I think that what is really interesting about the idea of the long career in principle is that it doesn't really mean one thing a priori, you know. In fact, what unites all of these artists is this enduring desire to make meaningful work, but that means something different for every artist. You know, for example, some artists kind of establish their visual vocabulary early in their career and continue to refine it and develop it over the course of many years. I'm thinking of someone like Agnes Martin, who established, you know, who began working with hand-drawn gridded compositions with an almost kind of zen-like consistency over the course of 40 years. But, you know, just as iconic in a different way is the kind of model of the about face. I'm thinking of maybe Philip Guston, who had been an abstract expressionist until he took, you know, a kind of radical shift in 1969 when he began making figurative stark, brightly colored compositions, which he continued to do for the rest of his career.
So how long did this process, what did this process involve? Were you going through MoMA's collections and storage a lot, primarily?
Yeah, so MoMA has an incredible database, which is where we started, that you know, includes all of the work cross-departmentally in the museum. That's really where we started. And then from then on, we made a selection of work that we wanted to visit in the flesh. Some of these paintings I had never seen before, or sculptures or prints, drawings. And so we, over the course of about a year, we went, our main storage is in Queens, so mm-hmm. we would have these, you know, treks to Queens, which are just the most delightful way to spend an afternoon, pulling out tills of drawings, screens of paintings, opening up crates of sculpture, and selecting the things that we thought were were potent and had something to say to audiences today.
Where are these? Is this like a warehouse in LIC or what?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So you're just basically plumbing through these and then you're coming up with ideas, or did you have a very clear idea and then say, we need to go and find this and slot it in here?
I mean, I think it was kind of a combination of both. You know, the galleries are organized as a series of both monographic presentations for featuring artists who MoMA collects in depth, and also kind of very loose thematic galleries. So the monographic rooms sort of were obvious in a certain sense because we knew the depth of the collection we have of those particular artists. But otherwise, we really just let the collection kind of reveal itself to us. You know, I'll speak for myself, although I'm sure Paulina agrees. I mean, I've been at the museum for nearly a decade, and yet I've never ceased to be amazed by the breadth and depth of our holdings. So anytime a work was uncrated or pulled from a till that I hadn't seen or hadn't seen in a long time, I mean, you know, it was always accompanied by this kind of rush of discovery, you know, the discovery of something new kind of in your own backyard, so to speak.
So are there certain artists who, as you're going through this process, you completely change your idea about what they signified or, you know, what they were all about?
That's a great question. For me, there's one thing that I really enjoyed about through the process, and I think that I hope that the show does for our audiences, is remove artists from a familiar context, whether that be the context of their own career in the through the example of the retrospective, or whether the kind of this linear progression of history. So Frank Stella comes to mind. We have a work from the 80s by Frank Stella, and Stella had an amazing retrospective at the Whitney Museum just 2 years ago. But seeing this work in this, you know, in the company of Bruce Nauman, in the company of Ed Ruscha, Andy Warhol, Roy Lichtenstein, made me see it completely anew. And in fact, seeing it put together, it's a multi-piece painting that comes, I don't know, in dozens of pieces, and just thinking about him as an artist in the 1980s coming up with this totally incredibly complicated idea with just model, you know, working the ideas out on paper maquettes and then building them huge. It made me think and appreciate this body of work in an entirely different way. And I hope that that's something that kind of, at least a bit of that, comes through in the presentation.
I'm Arun Venugopal, and I'm speaking with Paulina Poboja and Cara Mains, curators at MoMA, about the recently opened exhibit, The Long Run. Has technology, do you think, changed our relationship with artists, and does it favor the young artists with the big new idea, or do you think that has not happened yet?
I would say that it has not happened yet. I mean, I think that artists themselves are engaging with technology in new ways. I'm thinking, for example, of the filmmaker Ernie Gare. For his contribution to the exhibition, he offered a film that he made in 2004, which was actually he made it by digitally transferring and stitching together footage that he shot on a dime store camera of the streets of downtown New York in the early 1970s and had abandoned for 30 years. So here was an artist, you know, later in his career, kind of embracing, known very well for his experiments in with film, with the material nature of film itself. Here now, kind of blindly jumping into to the digital world and you know, finding new and exciting outcomes from it.
A lot of the artists in the show are women, or African-American, correct? Have some of these artists, in your opinion, not gotten the attention that they've deserved?
I think that, I mean, when we were putting together together this exhibition, what we wanted to do was reflect the diversity of the collection itself. And that was, that drove, that of course we were cognizant of including women, including African-American artists, including non-Western artists when we could. But our primary, I think our primary goal was to pick the strongest works. And it just so happens, very happily, that half of the monographic presentations are by women. There are a lot of African-American artists included in this exhibition. And it was, again, because the work was just so potent, so great, and had something to say, I think, to our audiences today. And that was what we wanted to achieve.
I'm curious, how much of the museum's collection is actually on view at any one time? I know this is a very ballpark sort of a question, but do you have any sense of that, having gone through the warehouses in Long Island City?
It's a tough question to answer exactly, but yeah, super ballpark, like less than 10% at any given time. Mm-hmm. And as you know, we're currently in the process of expanding the museum, so we have even kind of more reduced gallery space at this point, so... We show whatever we can at any given time.
And what's interesting about that is that the fact that we do show about 10% of the collection has really driven, you know, people often think of the museum as having a permanent collection. And of course, we own these works permanently, but the display and the presentation of the collection is anything but permanent. Even in the kind of previous iterations that were more of the kind of historical progression, mm-hmm. through the 20th century, Kara and Ann Temkin, the chief curator of our painting and sculpture department, working cross-departmentally with curators from drawings and prints and film, et cetera, would change the galleries on an almost weekly basis. And so as a means of getting so much of what is in storage or is on loan to other museums out on view. So the galleries themselves, whether through an exhibition that has a title, such as The Long Run, or just through a kind of regular rotation, are always changing.
So one of the artists who you include is Helen Levitt, photographer known for mm-hmm. her black and white street shots of New York. She's represented by a group of color prints. Was this something that she turned to later in life?
Exactly.
Yes, it was something that she turned to later in life. And in fact, many of the works that we included in her monographic gallery formed part of a projects series show, which is an exhibition ongoing series at the museum. And the works in that exhibition were presented in the form of slides and sort of showcasing her experiments with color photography.
Was it clear why she made this transition?
I think that returning to the same subject matter, she had been out in the streets of New York shooting children and its inhabitants, and sort of trying to capture the sensibility of those spaces, sort of made sense now to be infused with color at that point in time.
She was of her time in that way. I mean, in the 70s and 80s, so many photographers were using color photography. And, I mean, I think it was a new material that was available. So regardless of her age, I mean, I'm guessing that it would have been the motivation to be of your time.
I'm Arun Vanigopal, and I've been speaking with Paulina Poboja and Kara Maines, curators at MoMA, about the recently opened exhibit, The Long Run. It's on view through November 4th. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks you, Arun, so for having us.
Up next, Sarah Zaski talks about her new book, Achtung Baby, An American Mom on the German Art of Raising Self-Reliant Children. This is Midday on WNYC. We'll be right back.